Surprise, surprise, surprise. That's what happens when your pastors don't converse before they schedule their vacations. Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. This is a day that we recognize fathers. Many of us have been blessed with tremendous models of fatherhood, but there are others who have been ignored, neglected, abused, and even abandoned. I hope all of you have been blessed. Many of you have shown yourself to be models of fatherhood, but others of us don't like Father's Day because, frankly, we know we're not doing everything we need to be doing. This morning, I'd like to take a look at some scriptures that will show us our responsibilities to those who we are responsible for. Now, ladies, sit back and relax. Figure out where you need to plug yourself in to support your husbands in this effort. Now, if we look at 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we can see what a scriptural man looks like. When David's time drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. The word says that David commanded his son Solomon to do three things. He commanded him to be strong, show yourself a man, and walk in his ways. This was not a suggestion. He ordered him to be strong, show yourself a man, and walk in obedience. These three things must have been very important to David. So let's go a little deeper and see the significance of the three commands. The first command was to be strong. Well, what does that mean? Moses directed Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:6 before sending him out to battle. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong does not refer to a physical strength, but a strength dependent on God. David understood this because he had experienced God's hand at work in his life. But his son Solomon obviously did not understand this, because in 1 Kings 3:7, he says, I am but a child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. David, a man after God's own heart, hadn't always been the best dad, but being on his deathbed must have given him a little bit of clarity on how to be a good dad. But it was a little too late to prepare and train Solomon in the art of drawing strength from God. The second command was to show yourself a man. Well, how do we show ourselves to be a man? The word show has the idea of becoming or to make happen. In the New King James Version, it says, prove yourself a man. In the NIV, it says, act like a man. In the NLT, it says, be a man. And the Message says, show what you're made of. This is obviously not a passive thing on the part of man. There is an action required on our behalf. And if we look at Micah 6:8, we can see that God gives a mandate for man. He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God longs for us to walk humbly with him. He longs for us to be kingdom-minded. He longs for us to be in a relationship with him. Now, Tony Evans, I'm sure many of you know him, paraphrased the Micah 6:8, and his version goes like this. A kingdom man is the kind of man that when his feet hit the floor each morning, the devil says, oh, rats, he's up. And when the kingdom man steps out the door each day, heaven, earth, and hell take notice. Wouldn't it be nice to know that Satan feared us? It's possible. But to be that man, we have to grow ourselves in God. We have to be in a relationship with him. The third command was to walk in obedience. Now, if we were told to be strong and act like a man, it wouldn't be enough. We must be intentional in our walk. That's what David's charge to Solomon meant when he said, keep the charge of the Lord your God. The words "your God" showed that Solomon had a relationship with God. So we cannot be men of God or who he wants us to be until we begin that relationship. And this happens at the moment we accept him as Lord. Not as Savior, but as Lord. The moment we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we become second, and he becomes first place in our hearts. When this happens, we'll begin to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his rules, and his testimonies. We'll do whatever it takes to please God. And as a result of walking in his ways, we will prosper. And we'll pass it along to our children, as it is written in Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. We have an obligation, men, to teach our children, our grandchildren, the wonders of the Scriptures. It's our responsibility. So what do we do, men, if we're not exercising our authority in Christ? We pray and we ask God to rescue us. If we look at Psalms 34:18, it reads, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed. And if we look at Psalms 18, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God should be our everything. So what are we to do to show ourselves men? We must grow ourselves in God by staying in his word, staying on our knees, and spending time with him. He's all that we need, and he's more than enough to satisfy our hearts. Let's back up and go to the beginning and see God's plan for man. It begins in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Every human being is created in the image of God and therefore has value, dignity, and purpose. It goes on to say in verse 27, male and female, he created them. We know that while men and women are created in the image of God, there's a distinct difference between a male and a female. In other words, God has made man and woman equal, but not identical, with different roles and different responsibilities. To explain our role, men, in the family a little bit better, I went back to a book written by Stu Weber. It's called The Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. Everyone knows what a pillar does. It's a support mechanism. It holds something up. The four pillars are as follows. The king, or a loving leader, or a provisionary. The second pillar is a wise warrior. The third pillar is a mentor or transformative teacher. And the fourth pillar is a faithful friend. As we discuss these pillars, I want to ask every man to assess the pillars in your life and see where you're strong and where you're weak. Pillar number one is the loving leader. This pillar deals with provision or providing for those you're responsible for. In Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. The word work means to serve or have a job. Man was designed to work. The word keep refers to guarding or having charge of something. This is called responsibility. In verses 15-23, it says that Adam's role was to name the animals and to give Eve a name. This shows his authority and his responsibility as a leader. He was not to be abusive or demanding of those who he was responsible for. We as men are to make provision for those we love while guarding their well-being. Pillar number two is the wise warrior. This pillar refers to man as a protector. God set some clear parameters and boundaries in Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Again, this was not a suggestion. It was a command. Do not eat from the tree with the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was designed as a warrior to protect and safeguard his wife. Inside every man beats the heart of a warrior. John Eldridge, the author of Wild Heart, says, "As men, we have an adventure to live, a battle to fight, and a beauty to rescue." So how are we doing, men? Are we being wise warriors? In what ways are you working to protect those that you love? And this responsibility does not stop at your wife. We must be constantly on the lookout for danger so that we can protect our children from harm. It's a tough job. It's a full-time job. The job is made even tougher with all the electronics available to all our children, as well as a tremendous amount of peer pressure to possess these items. So how are we doing, men? Pillar number three is the mentor or the transformative teacher. This pillar of a kingdom man is that of a persuader. This involves teaching or mentoring. Adam's job was to educate his wife Eve about what God said in verses 16 and 17. He didn't do a very good job with that. I'm not pointing fingers at Adam because I know I've fallen into the cracks on many occasions. I'm attempting to show our responsibility and how quickly we can bail or become passive. A man who is a mentor is intentionally and deliberately passing along God's truths to the next generation and to everyone he's responsible for. Proverbs is filled with pearls of wisdom that we as kingdom men should be passing along to our families. Let me give you some examples. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." That's peer pressure. In Proverbs 2:1 through 5, it says, "My son, if you receive my words, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's pretty strong. In Proverbs 3:1, it says, "My sons, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Tells us to memorize scripture. And in Proverbs 7:24, it says, "And now, sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your hearts turn aside to her ways, the adulteress. Do not stray into her path. Run, forced run. Exit stage left." The scriptures are full of life-supporting words of wisdom. So how are we doing, men? Are we intentionally looking for ways to persuade those that we're called to lead? What can we do to improve our mentor role? Are we doing the things that God has commanded us to do? Adam was forged to be a provider, a protector, a persuader. And the fourth and final pillar is that of a faithful friend. We look at Genesis 2:18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." God made Adam a helper. Adam named her Eve. Adam failed his friend Eve. Do you know where Adam was when Eve was deceived? It might surprise you to know that he was present, but he was passive. He may have been strong, but he was silent. Instead of being a faithful friend, he bailed on his wife and his responsibilities. Let's read Genesis 3:6. It says, "She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." Men, are we being faithful friends to our family? In what ways are you growing in partnership with your wife? to show ourselves men of God, we've got to first grow ourselves in God. We need to spend time in His Word, spend time on our knees, just spend time with Jesus, getting to know Him. So how many pillars are you strong in? You may be strong in one or two and weak in others. Now, if we examine the four pillars, there is a significance about the strength of four pillars as opposed to one, two, or even three. Now, a single pillar is strong if the load is a dead load. In other words, the force is straight down. But if the load comes from the side or a live load, a single pillar can be easily shaken or even toppled over. So, if life was perfectly predictable and you knew what you would have to deal with and you would only deal with dead loads, you know, that would be fine. But life just doesn't work that way. Now, two pillars are good if the load is applied from the same plane. But if the load is a live or horizontal load, the pillars can easily tumble again. Now, three pillars are better because they provide some resistance to the horizontal or live loads. But they're not practical and they just take up space. But a four-pillared structure supports its own dead load weight and has superior strength to resist the unpredictable live loads that life throws at us from every direction. We never know what's coming next. So how many pillars are we building our lives on, men? We need all four. God made us that way. You know, it's interesting that even though Eve was deceived and ate the fruit first, Adam is the one held ultimately responsible. He has to give an account for both his actions and his inactions. If we read in Genesis 3:9, it says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" This question from God speaks volumes, and it's directed toward every one of us men that calls himself a Christian. Where was the loving leader in you, Adam? Why didn't you provide for your bride? Where did the warrior go, Adam? Why didn't you protect your wife from harm? Where did the role of mentor break down in you, Adam? Why didn't you persuade Eve to do the right thing? And where did Eve's faithful friend disappear to when she needed you most, Adam? And why are you blaming her? Again, I'm not trying to beat Adam up. I'm as bad or worse than he ever was. I've dropped the ball so many times. And I know that there are others of you that feel the same way. And that's the bad news. That's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus is the perfect example of godly masculinity. And with his enablement, we can do this. Ultimately, it's not about what you need to do, but about what God has already done for you in Christ. That's the gospel of grace. Jesus is the ultimate loving leader who provides for us. Jesus is the wisest warrior who protects us. He took on death, hell, Satan, and sin and defeated them all. And Jesus is the best mentor and teacher who gently persuades us. Jesus is the faithful friend who is always there for us. Always there. Jesus is our perfect example of a four-pillared man. May we take the steps today to show ourselves as men as we strive to grow ourselves in God by walking in His ways, keeping His statutes, His commandments, and His testimonies. May we men simply get out of God's way and give the Holy Spirit room to do His work. Do you realize that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, the same power to walk on water, the same power to calm the raging sea of Galilee, the same power that made the blind to see, the lame to walk, and the mute to speak, lives in us? It lives in us. So today, let's get out of God's way so the Holy Spirit can have His way in us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, the world throws so much at us that we're often sidetracked in the wilderness looking at the circumstances. and we're blinded by them, Father. We need to look to you. We need to lean on you, and we need to trust in you and have faith that you will do what you say you will do. In Titus, it says, Lord, that you cannot lie. You can't lie, Lord. So we ask for you to strengthen our lives, Lord. We ask you this morning to take control. We ask that you guide us in our roles as husbands and fathers as we strengthen our pillars against the forces of this world. We want to be good providers and protectors for our families, Lord. We want to be wise warriors, Father, great mentors and awesome friends to our families. But we need your guidance, Father, your help. May we take off everything that hinders us, Lord, and give you full control. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we look forward to seeing your handiwork in our lives, Father. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.